And in our exercise of looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, remember, and the Spirit of God is to go and what? Make possible all of God's saving grace by way of Calvary's cross, to make all the benefits possible. And that's his ministry. And to bring us what? An understanding of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring us comfortably before God the Father. That's why the Spirit of God's ministry in Galatians 6, Galatians 4, and Revelation, Romans in chapter 8, the Spirit of God's ministry is to present tense and compare a command to say to us, Abba, Father, over and over, so that it penetrates our little head, so that at any given moment we are always in the presence of God. But being in the presence of God, we have a unique relationship in that being in his presence. He's our Father. And that's why we shared all these different things in the light of our study in 1 John, etc. Because God, why isn't there judgment everywhere in the light of everything? No, God is just seeking to save that which is lost, and he's seeking to find whosoever to help them. And that's the Spirit of God's ministry. Now, and so verse 22, 5 and 22, with the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, except long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, etc. And the word fruit is in the singular, so we are talking, here's the nine fruits, and here's all the fruits of the and the nine plus thousands, 10,000 times nine. It's all about God's wonderful character, essence, and being. God, in all of his fullness, love, joy, peace, etc. And God in his wonderful, wonderful fullness is going to go and be God to us. And the Spirit of God's ministry is going to bring the wonderful presence of God practically, profitably, and pleasingly into our head and heart, so that in looking to God, we're able to understand and enjoy God. God, you can't have, you got all of God. The person, the doctor in front of you, has got all the knowledge of all these different things that they have prepared and studied and practiced. Yeah, they got it. They're going to look at you, and you're going to hear them and see them in one moment of their time. And they may be talking about whatever they're talking about, but all the time they talk about whatever they're talking about, they could talk about a million other things, because all of that's true for them. So God, at any given moment, is able to exercise who he is, thus his love. And as you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 there, I think it is, and all the attributes of the person are always there all at once. God, in all of his fullness, love, joy, peace, it's all there. So when you come to 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us, love suffereth long. And that's what you've been looking at in verse 22, long suffering. So the first word in verse 22, love, ties immediately to the fourth word, long-suffering. There. Everything in you is all at once. God is immediately always in loving, but he can be long-suffering in the same moment, because the same person in every way. God is just going to be who he is in all of his fullness. And that's what we've been looking at. We want to understand God, we understand the person of God in a personal way to have the benefits. So here we are in the presence of God, and the ministry of the Spirit of God is to make all of it practical and real in the relationship. It's not a make-believe. It's not something you imagine, you have to think about. It's a very real relationship. You have a real relationship to time, do you not? You have a real relationship to your functioning of your body, do you not? You have a real relationship to the presence of God. You just got it. Just there. It doesn't go away, it's just there in a wonderful way. So, and we looked at long-suffering and saw that. And remember we said the long-suffering to the Greek language, which is what we're looking at. And the Greeks in that day didn't consider it a virtue. Long-suffering was something you would never consider that a good thing. Could be. What do you mean? The average Greek that would be thinking, never tolerates an insult, never tolerates an injury. It's ready and quick to retreat and respond in any way, instantly. It's a bad thing if you don't respond. Someone said something, you say it back to them. You say it back to them. That's Greek. And if you don't do that, shame on you. Shame on you. I forgot to put these on. Anyway, got the idea. Now, in the process, long before being angry, and we share together that, you know, words, backgrounds give you the background to carry the word into its beautifulness, beauty. Long, it's use of long prayers. Don't have long prayers. The prodigal son is far away when he leaves home. Long, far. Now, that's a word. Now I'm going to put the word, connect that to what I'm connected to, mind-minded, long-minded, long before being angry, long-minded, far away. So it means, so God, now we looked at that, and as we did look at that and all of its wonderfulness and see it as much as we could, and we shared together, the Apostle Paul was a grand example of long suffering because he went, and he wasn't just a Jew, he wasn't just a Pharisee, he was a zealous Pharisee at the top of the pile, near the top of the pile. He was at the top. He persecuted, Acts chapter 9, he persecuted, hunted, killed, imprisoned Christians. That's what he did. And he was zealous to do it. He hunted them down. That's what he did. He didn't just do it, he did it with zeal. So, now, having said that, now God dealt with Paul, an example. God dealt with Paul in a wonderful way, as we shared. And remember, just picking it up again, if you like, over to First Timothy. And in First Timothy, if you can, and picking up, if I may, you'll have it. First Timothy chapter 1, and you'll remember it. First Timothy 1, and Paul tells us, I'm going to read verse 15 for context. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's how he saw himself. God came to save such as me, said Paul. Verse 16, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy. We're going to touch that in a minute. Mercy. That, what did the mercy do? It gave me the place and the freedom that God would go and be gracious to me. If he wasn't merciful to me, I would be in trouble. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me, first, long-suffering, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. There's your little word you're looking at, the gift, the Spirit of God, going to give him. Now, what did the Spirit of God do? He was patient in extending to Paul as he went and hunted and killed Christians. God waited on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9. He came to know the Lord as his Savior. And therefore, end of verse 16, long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God. Paul said, listen, God, in my little life, he said, if God saved me, and if God can save me, God can save you. God waited for me, and God waits for you. So there's no reason. God is long before being angry. In chapter 3, we did tie that together. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you remember, just if you can, looking at chapter 3 and picking up, if I may, in chapter 3, going to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. This is Paul before he dies. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. God in my life was all of that. Patience, love, joy. God was an ever-present help to me, said Paul. He was in helping me. He was loving me, giving his peace, giving his joy, giving his long before being angry. God in his total, in the total person that he is blessing my, has blessed my heart. And you know that. And as they would know, because they know, Paul, they used to hunt and imprison Christians. So, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind as we share together, so God waits and God waits and God waits in his most wonderful, wonderful way to deal with our head, to deal with our heart in every way that he can to honor himself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, therefore, looking to God and God's wonderful waiting. Now, God, what is that going to tie us into? Romans chapter 12. And in Romans in chapter 12, picking up, if I may, Romans. And you would recall, here's a little thing again. Romans and a chapter. Chapter 12, picking up, if I may, in verse 16. But to the Romans 12, 16. But be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Evil for evil is no good. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, as much as you can, realizing human nature, the old sin nature, and all us humans of being human. So therefore, be at peace with God with all men as much as possible. And now long-suffering comes into action. Because the old nature is going to be that. So every time you talk to, when you look in the mirror, you see your old nature. When you go to work, you see humans. When you go to the grocery store, you see humans. All with the same old nature. So don't be surprised when a human is human. They do and say what they do. It's just the way we are. So you're never shocked. You may not be ready for something, but you understand we have a human nature. So therefore, God, you're long before being angry, right? As we shared last time, if God were to go and act when we loused up, goofed, did every way off base, we'd never be here. We would have been gone a long time ago. God's long before being angry. And we do stupid things. We say things that aren't good. But God doesn't act. Hang on, we're going to get it. God doesn't act. He's long before being angry. And if he wasn't long before being angry, the minute we opened our mouth, it'd be out of business. So God's very gracious, long before being angry. So God, what is our responsibility? Verse 19, beloved, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So let me take care. Why? Because I'm long-suffering to every single person in every single way that they might be saved. Now, they got their own nature. They maybe just shot 10 people. But I'm long-suffering to save them. So you be long-suffering with them. So don't you try to hit back. Relax. And don't jump at everything. Some people say things to you about things, everything. And they say them. Just learn to trust God. You have to practice it and go through the exercise of ever learning it to practice it. Just don't react in a way. You don't have to strike out. They say stupid things. And they do stupid things. They do it. And God is being patient with them. You be patient with them. Don't you react. Back off. You don't have to react. You don't have to do it a different way. I got to protect myself. Why don't you have to protect yourself? Because you're what? Crucified. You're saved. You're a dead man, a dead woman. A dead man and a dead woman. They don't care. Go to the graveside and they don't care what you say. To the gravestone. No. Practice it. Practice it. Long before being angry. Shut your mouth. And that is a blessing for you. It helps you. So we don't have a whole pile of stuff getting in our head and heart, building. Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't do it. And can God, is it true? Yes. And my little life, your little life, there they are. And I don't hold anything against anybody in my little old life. I got all kinds of people that would wish me dead. I never have it. The people that could just hit me, I could shake your hand at the door if you're going home. I don't have anything against you. No, I don't. God doesn't. God's holding back. I'm going to hold back. It's not my business to protect myself. You don't do that. That's wrong. And you lose when you do that, because then you get out of fellowship and you lost the peace and the joy and everything that goes with it, because you get all wrapped up in something you should have relaxed in. Now, that's the practicalness of this, profitableness of this. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, go over with me, please, over to Romans and chapter 11. You're here. And Romans in chapter 11, picking up, please, may I go to verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now, hang on to that. Here's the Gentiles. Here's the Jews. The Jewish people, when they were believing, and the Gentiles were, here's the Jewish people inside the camp, and the Gentiles outside. The Jewish people stopped believing, as it were, and God took them out of the camp into the captivity, Babylonian, Assyrian, etc. And so when he did that, and when they went out, that, Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, as you know, gave us access to be saved. God opened the door and said, whosoever will. And you, and that, instead of me saying that, you can see it. So don't go by me. Chapter 11, verse 11. 11, 11, in the context. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? This is the Jews. God forbid. God forbid. I have a plan for Israel. But rather, through their fall, their unbelief, is come. Salvation is come unto you, Gentiles, to provoke them to jealousy. So God is going to taking us. And why is he doing that? In his mercy, he's doing it. In his wonderful mercy, he's put the Jews aside. They're getting clobbered out here in unbelief. But it brings the Gentiles the right, the privilege of believing on God and being part of God's wonderful grace and body in a wonderful way. Chapter 11, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, in other words, they fell, but it made the Gentiles rich, how much more when he recovers them, chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26, when he saves them. So what is the wonderful benefit? God was long before being angry, chapter 11, verse 30 again. As in times past have not believed God, but yet have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now also not, even these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. Now, God's merciful to the Jew to get you to save. God's merciful to us that they might be saved. God's merciful. God's mercy. And remember the word mercy? We have our words miser, miserable. My misery. Yeah. What's mercy for? Your miserable mercy. Your miserableness. Your lousy lot. You're living in a human body and you're going to die. You're going to die. No, God is merciful. He knows our state. Now, if you didn't get what I just tried to mumble, God says, what do you think of us, God? You are as a blade of grass, as a flower of the field. You are here today and gone tomorrow. You want to know what I think? You're dust. And if I wasn't merciful to you, you'd never get saved. You'd never have anything. And in your mercy, long before being angry, long before being angry to catch it, I do. I'm getting it, God. I need to get it here so that I got it, God. Because I want to appreciate, and practice being saved, being safely set in your presence. Hang on to all of that. Now, having said that, and verse 32, just to the context, for God hath concluded them all, A-O-L, Jew and Gentile, in unbelief. Why did he do that? That he might have, what's the next word? Mercy. Might have mercy on you. That's why God waited. That's why God waited. Yeah. So we say, God, you got to do it. No. No, we don't. We just be quiet and understand our own lot and life and all the other people around me in the same boat. We're all in the same boat traveling through time. And God, we're going to answer to you. So God, slow of heart, quick to trust you. Thank you very much for your mercy and your grace and your long suffering. Now, and over to chapter 9, illustrating chapter 9 of Romans, if I may, and picking up, please, in chapter 9, in verse 22. And 9 and 22, and you will note, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that's why you want to think of Pontius, think of Pharaoh. God let Pharaoh get, God, 10 plagues. God let Pharaoh what? He let his heart get harder and harder and harder. He gave him 10 big, beautiful plagues stuck in front of him to pay attention. But Pharaoh didn't pay attention. He didn't pay attention till his son was lost. He paid attention. So, God, in your wonderful, wonderful grace, you're going to show your wonderful, wonderful person. Now, verse 23, that he might make known, that's why God waits to the bad. How come Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all there. And they're all there. God, how come you wait? Boy, they're in power for a long time. And Russia, think of Stalin, think of Russia, all those things. Wow. So, chapter 9, let me catch it so you see it again. Verse 22, but what if God willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, there's your little word, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of, what kind of vessels, what kind of pots that have obtained mercy? Mercy. Where I'm showing mercy. I waited to the bad guy. I let him stay there. But in doing, waiting for him, I showed mercy and saved you. So before you say anything, you have to understand, we only have a piece of two of a puzzle to see the picture. God has all the pieces to see the picture. I only have a couple. So God said, wait a minute, long before being angry, sit tight. You only have a couple of pieces. So, and having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in verse 24, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, etc. God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace. And you know, you could turn that way of thinking of mercy. Hebrews in chapter 4. And you'll remember in Hebrews chapter 4, and going, if I can, to verse 16. Let us therefore, I'll read verse 15 so you can see it again, afresh. Chapter 4, verse 15, Hebrews, looking at us, understanding God. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, put on trial, put to the test, like as we are, yet without sin. He faced every kind of condition in every kind of way that you and I could ever face in his 3 1/2 years being tested. He had it all perfectly. And therefore, what are we doing? We're going to go and do what? We profit by his mercy. And verse 16, the result, let us therefore come boldly, free, frank, fearlessly. F's in the word boldly, free, frank, fearless, boldly. Unto the throne of grace. What for? That we may obtain, receive mercy, and find and discover God's grace to help in time of need. What are we looking for? We pray. What are you praying for? Mercy. What do you hope to find when you pray about a problem? Mercy. God, you got to fix the problem. Ah, he does. But that isn't, you don't need to explain the problem to him. God's pretty good. You know, he didn't even go to medical school. And God's real good. God said, just one. I want you to come and know how I work. Mercy and grace. And when you have mercy and grace, you have my long suffering, my love, my joy, my peace. You got the whole ball of wax. So don't you understand? You come boldly. What do you want? You want my personal presence in your life to outwork my wonderful plan and why I even bothered. It's not a good way to say it. Why I saved you. Why on earth would I save you? That's a good question, Ed. Why save me? Now, you're getting the idea. So here's Moses. Moses, what did you do without turning there and getting all those Exodus and all that? Moses, what did you do? Moses had to get trained. You have to learn it. You learn it in the College of Hard Knocks. You go through the experiences where you worry, want, and fret. And you learn to trust God a little bit, and you go to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. I didn't want that to fall into my brain. Do you understand? As it slides in, it go right down through. You're not inside it. And for the next part of it, I take it out anyway, because it goes better for the sound. So this time you don't have to listen. But anyway, now, So God, what are we doing? Here's Moses, 40 years under Pharaoh. Couldn't have had the highest. He had the bestest of the world had to offer. Everything possible for a human being to be at the top of the pile, even to take the place of Pharaoh, if he would. And Pharaoh favored him. Then God, 40 years in the wilderness, to get out of Moses' mind all the privileges of the world. And Moses is out there for 40 years to what? To help him. To get rid of what? I'm able. I can fight. I read languages. I am intelligent. I'm at the top of the pile. And so 40 years, and God, what did you do? You gave him huge shepherds, huge mounts of sheep and animals to take care of, like Abraham. No, he didn't. He gave him a few sheep to take care of for 40 years. And he was faithful. He was faithful taking care of those few sheep. Now, God, that's what God wanted. Are you going to be, I got to get you, Moses, where you aren't trusting the system to make any, don't trust that. Don't be trusting yourself. And when he was 80 years old, God introduced himself to him. And remember, in doing so, Moses, what did you do? You, if God was long before being angry with you, long-suffering, and waited 80 years, and then he's going to wait 25 more years before you have Isaac, just to make you wait, so you don't trust yourself. And he gets, that's God. The average Christian doesn't think like that, but that's how God works. And so Moses, what did you do? Moses had to be what? Long-suffering with Israel. They murmured and mumbled and grumbled time and again. And Moses had to go to God and quiet his heart and hang in there and work through it. The golden calf and all of it. He had to do that. Now, but you know what? Us humans, it's hard for us sometimes. And so Moses, after all of that, doing it, waiting, and he got... Now, Moses isn't God. Moses needs to trust God. But the trouble is, Moses, that you needed to keep on trusting. And you didn't. And you said, listen to the people of Israel, there's God should not be merciful to you anymore. You have murmured, mumbled, and grumbled. And therefore, you don't deserve any more water. Now, God, you need water. And God told me to provide you some more water and do that. But then God told me to speak to the rock. But I was so frustrated that God would be gracious to you. Why would God, they don't need any more water. You need to judge them. But God wasn't ready for that. So when Moses struck the rock, he disobeyed God. And God can't let the people see that. Now, Moses wasn't wrong. Moses was right. The people did not deserve the water, but what do we ever deserve? So it wasn't that. No, Moses was Moses. And Moses is God's man. Yeah. So before Moses, what are you going to do? God said, listen, the people saw you disobey me. I can't have that. So therefore, you can't enter the land, remember? They can't go in the land. You and Aaron will never go in. Joshua will, like we're doing at night. But you never will. It isn't that Moses, I understand your impatience. But I am long-suffering, and you represent me. So you'll be long-suffering. Your frustration is not God's. Yield to God's long-suffering, long before being angry, long before the arrow hits the target. The target's way there, and God says, I'm going to keep the arrow in space. Right now, we're at a time of grace, waiting for God to take us home to have what? Wrath. The grace is down like the arrow. Down it goes. But wrath is ahead. It's going to strike the target, but long before being angry, it's gone. He's being gracious in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, and Abraham said, listen, if there's just 19, just 10, if there's only 10 righteous, will you spare Sodom, because Lot's there. And everyone there in Sodom, you're going to take them all? I'm going to take them all. Clean house. I'm going to do it. That whole end of the Dead Sea, which is not dead, wasn't dead then, that whole, wow, all of that, I'm going to take it. Sodom and Gomorrah. And like it is, it's not no, you go over there today, it's just like it was back then. All it is not plush, wonderful, fertile land. It isn't that. It was when Lot went there. But now, having said that, little bit, here's Sodom, and here's Noah. Here's Abraham, I should say. And Abraham, God waited. And would you wait, God, till we have just 10? And God said, I wouldn't. But you're never going to have 10. I'm going to do it. And therefore, here's Noah going back before Abraham. And Noah waited, what, 120 years. God waited. Merciful, long before being angry. He waited. They all could have been saved at the day one, but they didn't. God waited. And so here's the Apostle Paul, as we looked at, etc. God's wonderful, wonderful mercy and God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and God gives space, long-suffering, it's a wonderful thing, God's long-suffering. Now, put that, exercise it. So when you're turning the pages of God's Word, God's going to keep showing himself in all kinds of different ways. So 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and in chapter 5. And you will note, if I can, if I can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and going, if I can, directly in the light of the context. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient. There's your little word, long before being angry, holding back, patient, holding back. Be patient to all men, to all men. Be patient with yourself and with others. Be patient. And you'll see it again, if I can, all over in 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, I'm picking up, please, and you'll catch it just to see it as you turn the pages of God's Word. God tells us, practice my presence in a wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, 2 Corinthians, and in, boy, did that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if I may, in verse 6. Well, I'm going to get this so you see it. Chapter 6, up in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Sliding down, it all works out in our life in a wonderful, wonderful way. And verse 4, but in all things, approving yourselves as the ministers, the servants of God, in much patience, affliction, and necessities, and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, whatever it is. In verse 6, in pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, there's your word, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, but the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You're going to look to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and God's going to do what he alone can do. So now, and catching it in all kinds of ways. Colossians. And in Colossians. Chapter 1. Colossians 1. What are we in the prayer? And what does God want us to have in our little old heart? What are we to be understanding about our relationship to God? Colossians chapter 1, the prayer. Strengthen, verse 11. God's going to help us. I'll read verse 10 because it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is what God wants for your life and mine, that you might walk. Colossians 1, 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, love, joy, peace. That you'd have the relationship to practice it in a good way. Chapter 3, exercise the relationship to enjoy God's long before being angry, and thus you have the benefit. Chapter 3 and verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Yep. Just wear it, live it in a most wonderful way. And so God help us. 2 Timothy, so what are we doing then? 2 Timothy, what we need to keep in mind, God has to help us. Chapter 4, and you would remember. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, going if I can, to verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, be consistent, reprove, rebuke, exhort, do everything you're doing, and do it what? With all long suffering and doctrine. Teach long before being angry. And I remember I told you all these things back 100 years ago in church and at my ordination. And you look down, I told you that. I sat, you know, all these things. I sat down like just here's 600 people or so. And I sat right there like where George is. George, we sat there. And we sat there. And dear, he's doing what he says. And then he stopped and said, you won't make it unless you understand. You're going to go and bring light into darkness. This is, I'm helping you understand. He didn't say these things. I'm helping you. What did you say? You're going to face terrible opposition if you teach the truth and bring light into the darkness. Darkness hates light. It doesn't mind Bible teaching, Bible information, understanding a verse, as long as that truth is not found in your heart. As long as you never believe it for real and let it become part of your life. I don't care if you can memorize the Bible. Just don't believe it. Preach it. Say it. I got a wonderful help. It helps me understand. Sure it does. But if you're going to do it, to let it penetrate the heart and everything, it goes right straight through your nice normal way of handling life, and it charges right back through that normal way of handling life and hits you where you are. That's me. That's my personality. That's how I think. That's how I act. That's how I do. Right? That's a personality. As long as you don't touch that, you touch me where I am. Ah. But as long as you keep it here, and they said, if you're going to preach, that's what's going to happen. And we've known that now for all these years. Watch people come and go. Yeah. They don't want to hear that. No, I don't want to hear. You've got to change. Christ is supposed to be your life. Oh, well, I'm not ready for that. I don't mind a Savior. I don't mind having Easter Bunny and Easter eggs, and I don't mind going to church. It's Easter. I don't mind that. But now if you mean my life is to be found in His, that I don't want. Like that practically. And that's where we are. So you get the little bit. Long suffering. And I gotta quit. Anyway. Thank you for that. Hope it helps a little bit. To practice. Practice the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you very much.